naked and abuse.
Hello? Hello? Hey, I got this figured out now. It's been a while, but back again. I gotta fix the levels here a second. All right. Okay. Got this figured out now, I think. Or am I talking into the wrong mic? Now I got it. All right. Yeah, it's been a while, huh? Okay. Got this figured out. Mental note, when the button is down, it means mute, and when it's up, it means you can talk. So, hello, you are listening to Unsound Methods here on Yurt Radio. I am Damon Blanchett. You can reach me in real time during the show by sending a tweet to @DamonBlanchett. That's DamonBlanchette. Or slightly slower by sending me an email at DamonBlah@gmail.com. And I'll check that during some songs. Or you can hit me up on Facebook. Each week I talk science news and play some music, usually according to a theme. And welcome back to a new season. This is the first show of 2013 and also the first show in over a month, as you probably figured out since I forgot how to work this equipment in that time. This time I'm not going to do news items from just the last week. I'm going to look at the last couple of months. It's been a pretty eventful couple of months. Actually, I'll probably do the same sort of thing next week as well, because so much has been happening. This week's music is also a little bit different. I'm just going to play a smattering of the new tunes I've been listening to personally over the last couple of months. I spent a lot of time with music playing in my ears during work and just being at home and in the car. Car is usually podcasts, but I do listen to a lot at work. So I really tend to venture into trying out new bands I've never heard before fairly often. Some of it's pretty bad, I'll admit. Some of it's mediocre. But every once in a while, I come across something I think is pretty amazing. This week and maybe next week, I'll be doing this. New songs that have stood out to me, at least, in the last couple of months. That song at the top was Deconstruction by the band Witchcraft, off their album Legend. I discovered that pretty amazing band, who happened to be Swedish, in fact, on one of the podcasts I listened to. One of the it's called the Muya podcast, M-U-Y-A. And they talk metal every week. It's a pretty good show. On to the science. I'm going to start it with some computer science news, since that happens to be my specialty. We've all heard about viruses and malware and the like infecting our personal computers, at best making them run really slow, at worst stealing our personal information and deleting everything on our computer. I had a pretty bad virus last summer that got on my computer when I tried to run a Flash installer. It disguised itself as a Flash updater, and I ran it, I installed it all on my own, felt pretty stupid afterward. But everything on my computer started shutting down all on its own. I couldn't run anything. It was bad. I had to go through. Luckily, I had my phone on it. I pulled up the browser on that and found this one web page with this massive, long list of steps in order to fix it. Managed to actually fix it. I couldn't believe it worked. I mean, I had to do this long list of it was like 10 steps. I had to download a piece of software to my computer that was specially made for fighting this one virus. It was crazy. Managed to get it back, though. But anyway, recently, computer security experts have begun to warn about viruses taking over the firmware built into any random device instead of just the software on our home or work computers. Firmware is the instructions that run directly on a chip that would be hardware, which you would think can't be changed since it has to do basically one thing forever. But it can, in a lot of cases, actually be overwritten with new instructions. And I suppose you could tell the difference. There's firmware, which goes on hardware, and then there's software, which runs everything else. Programs that can change. The stuff in Windows, all of that, that's all software. This would affect everything that has any kind of computing on a chip going on inside it. That goes from cars to the power grid, controllers to TV, even to TV remote controls. Let's see. Cars, for that, you could say like the expensive keyless ones these days are actually being stolen because people are hacking the computers' firmware on the machines, on the cars, and unlocking the doors, getting inside, and driving away. Makes me worry about getting a car that might have keyless entry. There are, however, computer scientists out there doing research to figure out ways to make firmware devices more secure. Developers Ang Sui and Sal Stolfo of Columbia University have created a program that will scan random chunks of firmware code on a device and check for signs of intrusion. It works without slowing the computer's processing speed, and it will work with any type of firmware. Hopefully, this research will lead to better safeguards with the devices we use every day. If I ever get a BMW, I want to be sure nobody can just walk up to it and drive it away. Especially after spending all that money. In completely different news, guess what's helping farmers in Nepal boost their crop yields? Yes, that's right, it's urine. The article where I read this on Scientific American had a fantastic section, a paragraph that I just couldn't pass up quoting. So here it is. And I quote, 2 years ago, Tamang couldn't even grow enough cabbages to sell. But since then, he's learned the magic of human urine. End quote. How much better does it get than that? How could you go wrong with that? So a village in Nepal named Sotang was the recipient of a project by the DZI Foundation, that's D-Z-I-Z Foundation, I guess, which is a Colorado-based nonprofit to build over 1,000 new toilets. The residents had a choice of between a normal squat toilet, and by the way, I've actually also read that squatting is the best way to go to the bathroom. It's the most natural way. These toilets that we all have in our bathrooms where you sit, it's actually constricting flow, I guess you could say. Anyway, the other kind of toilet they could get was a special one that actually collected urine in a separate container. According to the article, this is called ecological sanitation or ecosan. This collected urine is, yes, used on the growing crops as fertilizer. The benefits are actually pretty amazing. One farmer grew the largest cabbages he had ever seen, up to twice the size of all the other farmers' cabbages. In addition, using the urine as fertilizer reduces resource usage on sanitation, and it also helps reduce the farmer's carbon footprint. Urine, in fact, used to be utilized much more often in farming many years ago, but has been reduced due to people obviously thinking it's gross and unsanitary. However, the science, if you look at the evidence, is showing that it is a more viable and obviously cheaper way to fertilize than using manufactured fertilizers. What about chemicals that may come out in people's urine, like maybe pharmaceuticals and hormones? Current science says it's not much of a problem since urine breaks down, and since urine breaks down easier in soil than regular chemical fertilizers, it's actually less likely to contaminate water supplies, which is kind of cool. All right, and speaking of that, my next story is actually about contamination. But first, I'm going to play a song. This next tune comes to us from Conspirator, which is a band that is, they only do instrumentals, but the music is kind of an interesting combination of jam, electronic, and rock. Three of my favorite genres. Includes two members of the Disco Biscuits, and the drummer is none other than the guy who is Pendulum, who probably nobody listening will know. But I'll say it's some good breakbeat techno. I used to listen to Pendulum quite a bit, actually, in years past. I should look him up again. But I guess he does the drums for Conspirator. So here is Conspirator's song, So Much More, from their one and only album out right now, which happens to be recorded live. But don't worry, it's not an insanely long song like a lot of live stuff that I listen to. So here we go, Conspirator and So Much More.
Thank you.
right. That was So Much More by Conspirator off their album Unlocked, live from the Georgia Theater. I would love to see those guys live sometime. I'm going to have to look up their tour schedule, in fact. So the next story is a bit of a cautionary one. New research out of Purdue University has shown that baby fish exposed to manure with hormones in it from Indiana farms were much more likely to be male than those raised in uncontaminated water. I'll quote the article here, and I quote, Purdue University researchers raised fathead minnow embryos in water taken from two Indiana streams that are contaminated with natural and synthetic hormones from manure spread on fields. The embryos turned out 60% male. Fish typically are born with roughly equal numbers of males and females. End quote. The lead author of the study, Maria Sepulveda, an assistant professor at Purdue's Department of Forestry and Natural Resources, said that over time, this would reduce fish populations. Obviously. I added the obviously. She also said to be careful before completely blaming the hormones, because other factors from pesticides to just water temperature could also have an effect on fish gender. However, the research certainly shows that there is a good chance the hormones are causing problems. There is no doubt that water quality near huge farms like these is reduced, but the question is, what is the effect? So far, it is not looking good. The scientists all agree that it is time for policymakers to take a closer look at the effects of factory farms on surrounding wildlife before some animals start to go extinct before their time. For the next song, I picked one by Bela Fleck. I actually just saw this guy two Fridays ago at the Calvin in Northampton, and I gotta say, it was one of the best concerts I've ever seen. He wasn't with his usual band. Instead, this show featured him with four other of the best banjo players probably in the world, along with some absolutely amazing backup musicians. They played some incredible songs. I think he was a younger guy, and he played one of the backup guys. He played the mandolin. And the stuff this guy was pulling out, it was incredible. I've never heard mandolin playing like this before. He just solos everything. It was amazing. And the guitar player was also incredible. It was quite a big night. One of the big standouts at the show was a guy named Richie Stearns, who's a banjo player. I'd never even heard of this guy before that night. He actually played a song that I can only describe as like psychedelic banjo, and I had no idea this even existed. He's probably the only guy in the world playing this stuff. He had an electric banjo that went through it. It had a connection just an amp connection just like a regular guitar, only it was a banjo, a clawhammer banjo. I'm not totally sure what the difference is between a clawhammer and a regular banjo. But anyway, he got it going through a guitar amp, and then he put some effects on it that you would normally hear on a guitar, and it just made some of the most incredible sounds. Like, it was so, so good. I even tried to find the song on YouTube. Like, I would do almost anything for a recording of this show, but I found him playing the same song in a couple of YouTube videos, but it just wasn't the same. He didn't play it exactly the same, of course, since it's live. All the recordings that seem to exist are just live, so it's probably different every time. But still, I'm going to search for a recording of that. Maybe I should contact Bela Fleck's people. Anyway, Bela Fleck himself, during one of his solo songs, he picked and strummed so fast that it sounded like more than one banjo was actually being played, and it was just him on stage. The musicianship of these guys is just amazing. So right now I'm going to play one by Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, which is his usual band, and this song is called Roadhouse Blues. Enjoy. Thank you. That was Bela Fleck and the Flecktones and their song Roadhouse Blues. That recording was off of the album Greatest Hits of the 20th Century. Did you notice what sounded like sliding during the song? And what is, of course, a usual blues style where you hit a note, you slide to another one. I also would have thought it was actual sliding until I saw these guys play live. What Bela was actually doing was changing the tuning of the strings as he played. So he'd pick a string, and then instead of using the other hand to hold the string to a fret and slide his finger up and down, he actually turns the tuning screws on the fly during the song in order to make a sliding sound. And it's not just one string and one tuning screw. It's like all the strings. And he keeps switching which tuning screws he's turning all the time. It's incredible. The night I saw them, both Bela Fleck and one of the other guys, and I don't remember the name, also played the same way. I didn't even know such a thing was possible. It's just incredible that they can... that they can do it and still have it sound good. Like, they knew exactly how far to turn the tuning screw and then stop to have just the right sound. And it's fast, too. Amazing. All right. The Global Burden of Disease Report, which is the largest ever study into the state of the world's health, with the participation of almost 500 scientists from 50 countries, has revealed that for the first time, overeating is a bigger global problem than starvation. So in short, for the first time in the history of humankind, the number of years of healthy living lost due to people eating too much is more than the number of years lost from people who are eating too little. And this is on a global scale. On a whole, as a global population of humans, being overweight is now more of a health problem than lack of nutrition. This is obviously the first time in history that this has happened. Being overweight can increase a person's blood pressure and cause heart disease and stroke, and just these two problems are now responsible for 1/4 of all deaths. That's heart disease and stroke from being overweight. Well, heart disease and stroke, which being overweight can cause problems with, are responsible for 1/4 of all deaths. That's incredible. This same massive report, said to be the most comprehensive assessment of human health in the history of medicine, also showed that we have at least gained control over some of the most common infectious diseases. Many countries that in the past have had very low life expectancies, have seen great increases in how long residents are living. In the case of the Maldives, for example, life expectancy has increased by 30 years on average since 1970. A big help with this has been new and quality health programs being implemented in the last decades in the rural areas of some countries where healthcare was previously non-existent. Or they were using, not just lack of healthcare, but they were probably using more local, herbal sort of things instead of modern medicine. But modern medicine is getting out there more and more, and the evidence is showing that is increasing the lifespan of people all over the world. Major progress in eliminating the causes of early childhood death have also been made, as evidenced by the 60% decrease in deaths of children under age 5 since 1990. And that's just since, that's only in the last 23 years now, 60% decrease in childhood deaths of children under the age of 5. That's amazing. Global deaths by diseases such as malaria and also HIV have decreased in the last 30 years. In fact, we are actually more likely to die from an overweight problem such as heart disease than we are from getting something infectious such as a virus. And that's the first time in history that this is the case. The big picture here is that the report showed that much more importance needs to be placed on healthy aging. In the past, it's always been about stopping people from dying early. But in the future, what we need to do is look more towards prevention. With most health costs and problems these days being for things that don't really kill you, but disable you in some way, such as neck and back pain, mental disorders, and substance abuse, scientists are saying we need to start to focus much more on awareness of chronic problems of aging in a healthy way. Which actually makes sense to me. With more and more people living longer, we're obviously going to see more of the problems of living longer. And being overweight, and that causing heart disease and things, are one of the big things. I mean, 2,000 years ago, or thousands and thousands of years ago, hey, I could say 20,000 years ago, when the average life expectancy of a human was like 30 years, obviously you're not going to see too many problems of getting old, like arthritis and neck pain. You'd be more likely to be killed by a lion than of old age, that is for sure. But now people, thanks to modern medicine, are living much longer, and so what we need to do is deal with the problems that come with that. And eat less. So up next, I've got a song by a band called Grady, which is a band I only found out about a couple of weeks ago, thanks to a coworker mentioning their name. I checked out their stuff and ended up loving it. I guess Grady's music can be described as sort of like a blues metal, in a way, sort of. So here's their song, Ride Like Hell.
Sometimes I wonder when I ever get back home.
That was the song Ride Like Hell from the band Grady off their album Why You So Shady. I love it. Heavy. So good. How about some dolphin news? Dolphins are awesome. Dolphins are a never-ending supply of cool stuff, I gotta say. According to a newly published paper, dolphins at the Tangalooma Island Resort in Australia have been observed giving gifts to humans on 23 separate occasions since 1998. That's right, the dolphins are giving gifts to humans. I mean, my cat has offered up a mouse or two here and there, so this isn't completely unprecedented. But hey, my cat lives with me and sees me every day. These are wild dolphins. According to the paper, the dolphins offered up eels, tuna, a squid, an octopus at one point, and also various other kinds of fish. These specific dolphins are actually kind of like my cat in a way, even though they really are wild and can swim wherever they want. It's because they are regular visitors to the Australian resort where they were found. The scientists and the dolphins have known each other for years, but still, this kind of thing is very rare in the animal kingdom. The scientists think that the dolphins are offering up the food because they think that they will get different, maybe better, food in return from the humans. This is only one possibility, and the researchers are trying not to jump to conclusions yet, but it's still quite a neat story. That's awesome. I'd love a gift from a dolphin. I think that would be pretty cool. Even if it is a dead octopus. It'd be quite a story to tell all my friends. In astronomy news, the most Earth-like planet outside our solar system was recently discovered. It's got a rather generic name, being KOI-172.02, and the KOI stands for Kepler Object of Interest. That's not Kepler, as in the scientists from the early 1600s, but it's actually the awesome NASA telescope named after him. The Kepler Space Telescope, which is orbiting the Earth right now as we speak. It is one awesome telescope. I should actually look it up a bit and talk about it maybe next week. This planet, which is being called a super Earth, is about 1.5 times the size of our own planet, so it's actually much bigger. It orbits within the habitable, that is also known as the Goldilocks zone of its star, which is called, amazingly, KOI-172, which also happens to be similar to our own sun. KOI-172.02 is slightly closer to its star than we are to the sun, and a year on that planet is only about 242 Earth days. So you'd have a birthday much more often if you lived on that planet. I wonder how long a day would be, though. Depends on how fast it's spinning. It'd be interesting to find out what that is. If it's bigger, you would think it would... No, it doesn't matter, actually. Bigger or smaller size of planet doesn't really affect the speed of how its spinning. At least I don't think so. But anyway, while not confirmed yet, there is a strong possibility that water exists on this planet. That is liquid water. And where there's water, there's a better possibility for life to develop. The astronomers have said this planet, if confirmed, could be a prime candidate to host alien life. One unfortunate thing is that it is around 1,040 light years away, which is unfortunately an utterly massive distance that most likely we will never be able to travel. And that's ever. Unless someone figures out how to make wormholes, that is. Or, well, even if we could travel at the speed of light, it would still take 1,040 years to get there, which is still an insane, massive amount of time. So even if you invented, like, what is that? Like, cryogenic sort of sleep, and so... You could kind of put yourself to sleep for 1,040 years, or it'd be more than that since you can never go the speed of light. it would still take that long to get there. And then for you, I guess it would be instant. But then you'd do all your research, and when you'd come back, by the time you came back, it would be over 2,000 years later on Earth anyway. And everyone you knew would probably be gone. But by the time we get to that point, maybe we'll have medicine and health research that will let people live that long. You never know. Let's see. And it looks like I got a little bit more time. So you know what? I'm going to add an extra song to the playlist. This is a song called Red Tide Rising. It's by Orange Goblin. And this is another song that I discovered thanks to the to that metal podcast that I listen to each week. This band, Orange Goblin, and the album that this song is off of was named one of the best metal albums of 2012. And I have to agree. I think this is a pretty awesome song. So here you go. This is Red Tide Rising by Orange Goblin. We'll be right back. That was Red Tide Rising by the band Orange Goblin off their album A Eulogy for the Damned. Love it. That whole album is awesome. Definitely deserved to be called one of the best metal albums of last year. All right. I've actually got a tiny bit more time. I was going to end it there. So I'll just mention a crazy story I heard about last week. I didn't even write this one down, but I remember hearing about it. I guess there was a big news article that was all over the place about how there was a biologist, some kind of scientist, who was looking for a woman to carry a baby. But the thing is that the baby would be a Neanderthal baby. So say, obviously Neanderthals are gone. But the articles were saying that this scientist had figured out how to recreate Neanderthal DNA, and we do have some of it actually from samples of Neanderthals that have been found. Archaeologists, and would that be archaeologists? I don't even know. Whoever digs in the ground to find living things or things that used to be living, yeah, archaeologists or paleontologists would find dinosaurs. But anyway. Somehow the article said that they had found enough DNA and they could clone a Neanderthal and then have it grow, you know, inside a normal woman. And so this scientist was looking for a woman who would volunteer to carry the first Neanderthal baby to be born in thousands and thousands of years. The only problem with this is it's completely wrong. You know what? It really shows you how insanely horrible quite a lot of the science reporting is in this world. It's just bad. And it really actually stemmed, I believe what I heard is it stemmed from a bad translation. It was a German article. It was originally German. And then and it was English translated to German, an interview with an actual scientist. And then when it was translated back to English, they made it sound like that he was actually looking for this, when in fact the actual scientist was only saying that this might be possible someday far in the future. So we will not be having any Neanderthal clone babies anytime soon, but if you just read the news and took it at face value, you would think it'd be happening by the end of the year. I suppose we'd have a Neanderthal baby, but definitely not. We are many, many years away from having that. Anyway, I thought I'd mention that one. That was a funny one. Don't believe all the science you read on the internet or on the news shows or in the newspaper, in fact, which is where a lot of these articles were found. So, that brings me to the end of the first Unsound Methods of 2013. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Damon Blanchett. You can reach me on Twitter at Damon Blanchett, all one word, DamonBlanchette, or by email at damonbla@gmail.com. That's DamonBla. Or on Facebook, like a billion other people on this planet. I'm going to finish it up this week with a song by the Bright Lights Social Hour. These guys opened for the Umphrey's McGee concert that I went to back in November, and I was an instant fan after actually never even hearing of them before that show. They are awesome, and they are also really good live, especially good live. Here's their song Rhubarb Jam off their self-titled album. Check out the bass playing at the start of this tune. It's just plain insane. Have a great week, everyone, and see you next Wednesday. Again, this is the Bright Light Social Hour with their song Rhubarb Jam. Enjoy.
Jackie Spags.
I'm Willie Rocks.
And I'm Beach Balls.
Beach Balls Sauce Man. And we're here.
We call him
on
that
this
Monday. Because his balls the size of beach balls.
Oh, fuck.
It's insane.
I do.
Did I slander your name on the radio?
How you doing tonight, Joe? The Afternight Delight on your radio with
Sal and Lisa. We're on from 7 to 8 every Friday night.
We'll be playing a mixed bag of music.
Anything from indie to jazz, hip-hop to rap.
Pop.
No pop.
Come on, a little bit of everything. So tune in.
And we'll see you then.